did you have food on your table this week that was wonderful? Maybe some prayer?
Some fellowship? Did you talk to somebody? Did you tell somebody about God? Did you have a great week? Did you see the weather and the blue skies and all the things we were blessed with all week long from God? Isn't that great? And now we're here together in His house. Let's share the word together as we do responsive reading. Psalm 118. Are you ready? The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation. Salvation, my stronghold. For you will light my lamp, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. To David and his descendants forevermore. And who is that? That's who we are. Hallelujah. God loves you. God loves you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Are you afraid to tell people about God? Are you afraid to tell people you're a Christian? That's what we're going to pray about today. Are you a little worried that somebody's going to be mad at you or somebody's going to come against you? Are you don't want to start a confrontation? Don't be afraid, because God's got your back. This whole sermon today is about God having your back, and this sermon today is about how God forgives. Say that with me. God forgives. From the beginning in this Bible to the end, when they walked with Moses, they fell short and they sinned. God forgave them. In the days of Solomon, he sinned. God forgave them. David sinned. God forgave. Every time people sinned and repented, every time they turned back to God, what did he do? He forgave them. We have to understand that we are Christians. And later on, we're going to talk about what that means. But we are a work in progress. We are not perfect. In fact, we are the ones who admit we need help. How many know that's a hard thing to do for some people, just to admit they need help? We need God, and we admit that. Amen. And that's the beginning of being a Christian. Not that we know more, not that we're above, because we recognize that we need Him. So we lower the bar and we understand that we fall short and we need that God. And we need to tell other people about the hope of God. We need to tell other people about His love. Amen. We need to tell people this God is real. There's more in life. There's more. There's good things. There's good things with God. We don't hate anybody. We love all people who come searching for Him. Coming into His house to learn more. We receive them. We love them. Just as our family here today, when Fred and Nancy walked in, what did we do? We received them. Because that's what a family of God does. So let's pray together this morning as we read His word and we read about these people, and we see that some people were afraid to admit they loved Him. Some people were afraid to admit they believed Him. But yet when they came to him, He answered them. Some people fell short. Some people denied Him. But when they repented, He answered them. When they fell short, He lifted them up when they repented. This is our God. When we fall short and we repent from our sins, He lifts us back up again. He shows us the way again. He holds us in His arms again. That's the way of a Christian. That's the walk that we have with this Jesus. This Jesus who loves us so much. So as we read this today, understand that it's important to tell people about God. It's important to let people know you're a Christian, because they need that good news. They might not act like it, but trust me, they need good news, and you have it. So I pray today that you receive this message and the joy of this message. In Jesus' name, I pray. Hear my prayer, O Lord. I love this prayer. Church says, amen and amen. The stamp on the envelope that takes the letter right to Jesus. Give Him praise. Now, we've heard the story of Nicodemus before. How many have heard that story over and over again? He was a Pharisee. Nicodemus was one of the leading Pharisees in the church. In other words, he was with the Jewish. Amen? He was powerful and he was a leader. But we also learned this in John 3. Listen, there was a man named of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He was a what? A ruler. This man came to Jesus by night. When did he come? Why would he come at night? He didn't want anybody else to see. Who didn't he want to see? Those under his synagogue, those in his church, those of the people who listened to him and trusted him, those people, unbelievers. He didn't want them to see, so he came to Jesus how? By night. Isn't that, I mean, just right there, that one word. And he said to Jesus, Rabbi, listen to this. This is a unique word, or not a unique word, but interesting word that he uses. He says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. We know. Nicodemus goes to see Jesus at night and he says, we know. Who is we? Who's he speaking for? Is he telling Jesus that there's other people like me that really believe in you and really believe who you say you are, but we can't say it openly? Imagine, and you might have missed that word, Sergio, but he said, we know. Now, he's by himself, so I think that's very interesting. He said, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Talking about the miracle. Jesus answered and said, most assuredly, I say, unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, there's a lot of people that have a little problem with that. And Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Most assuredly, Jesus answers, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Notice there's another word, and. Say that with me, and. So that word connects. You have to be born in the water and in the flesh and in the Spirit. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And he says this too. I love, do not marvel that I said that to you, that you must be born again. He said, don't get caught up in that phrase, because there's people today who get caught up in that phrase. Say, oh, you're one of them born again Christians. I say, well, if you're a Christian, we're all born again. If you gave your heart to God, wherever you were, whatever church you were going to, when you gave your heart to God, what were you? Born what? Hallelujah. So he said, don't marvel at that. Don't get caught up in that. He said, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? And listen to Jesus says, listen, I love this. Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. And then he says, if I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Doesn't that make sense? He said, if I'm telling you things about today, about this and that of the world, and you don't believe them, how are you going to believe if I tell you heavenly things? And he said, no one has ascended to the heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish. And here's another little word, but, say that with me, but have eternal life. There's no question. Understand that. People can say whatever they want to say about how you're saved or whether you're saved or not, but there's a word called but. He puts but, and that's so there's no question. He said, whoever believes in him, are anybody here a whoever? Okay, no, stay with me now. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Is there a question there? Is there anything in there? It says, when you believe in Jesus, what do you have? Hallelujah. Now here's a teaching moment, and I love it. It's a teaching moment. Let me go back a little bit, because he said, As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus, what did Jesus just do? He went back to where? Gene, he went back to the Old Testament and he told a story about the Old Testament. So I tell you, when Jesus tells you something, when Jesus mentions something, it's really good to look into what he was talking about. And so I did that for you. You don't have to open your books. But it's in the book of Numbers in the Bible. Amen. And this is the story. This is what Jesus is talking about when he talked about the serpent. It's in Numbers 21:4. If you want to go home and read it. Numbers 21:4. Now listen, this is a teaching moment. Then they journeyed from Mount Or by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. This is Moses and the people with Moses. They're no longer in Egypt. They're walking through the wilderness and they're discouraged. Anybody here ever get discouraged? I'm sure you all do. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Don't ever do it. If you're going to get discouraged, fine. But they spoke against God and Moses. And they said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread." Whew! So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. I mean, people don't think God got angry. He sent fiery serpents. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. Therefore, say that with me. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you." And they say to Moses, "Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Amen. They prayed. They repented. You see, they came to God and said, "Boy, we really messed up. We not only sinned against you, Moses, but we sinned against God." And then they asked him right after that, "Would you pray for me? If anybody needs help, would you pray for me?" And you wonder if God hears. Of course he hears. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on the pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on the pole, and so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Again, back in John, Jesus said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." He went back to the old. When they lifted up the serpent, all the people in Israel looked at the serpent, and then they were healed by looking at it. When Jesus was lifted up, we look up to Jesus now. And anyone who looks up to Jesus now is what? Saved. And what do we have according to the word? Eternal life. We look up now. They were the same thing. Just as Moses did that, we have Jesus now to look up to. And that's, he went all the way back. And that's a teaching moment, because a lot of people would read that, Sergio, and they wouldn't understand. What does he mean, Moses and the serpent? See, the people in Israel were disobedient during the wilderness. It's amazing. He fed them. He gave them water. He did all these things, and they were still disobedient. When they repented, what did God do, family? Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Now, there's another story. There's always another story. And the stories in both the book Mark and the book Luke. And this is where we're going to go with today. And the story is a man named Jairus. Anybody ever hear that name? I'm sure Elder Nancy has. And he's only in the story for a little bit. His name is Jairus. It's J-A-I-R-U-S. Jairus. And guess who Jairus is? He's the head of a synagogue. He's in charge of a synagogue. Hallelujah. He's responsible for the administration of the synagogue, of the building maintenance, and the worship supervision. That's who he is. He's another person in charge of the synagogues, along with Nicodemus and along with the Israelites. That's who he is. And it's very, and here's the thing before I read, I would pray that none of you go through what Jairus went through. I pray that you never have to face that. But Jesus added this story for us, for a teaching. And anytime I read something in the Bible, I say, that's a teaching. There's some reason it's in here. Even though it's only a little bit on one page, there's a reason why he told us about Jairus. And I'm going to read from Luke. If you want to, it'll be Luke 8:40 if you want to read it at home, but let me read it to you. This is Jairus. So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. He fell down at Jesus' feet. This ruler of the synagogue, where you got all these people and all these Pharisees and elders and high priests denying Jesus. There's a leader of the synagogue and he's on his knees in front of Jesus now. Why? Because he needs Jesus. He needs that miracle. He's at a point in his life where there's nothing left but hoping that Jesus is who he said he is. And that's where he is. He's in desperate need now. That he is so desperate, he fell down at his knees and begged him to come to his house. It says, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. And then it says, but as he went, and there's a reason for this being in the middle. Let me get it. He said, as he went, I love this story. The multitudes thronged him. Now, you know what that means. It's like, if you were all around me, it would be cool. Now, a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? Understand, I believe that he knew exactly what happened. But he made that statement so other people would know. He said, who touched me? When all denied it, Peter and those around him said, Master, the multitude throng and press you, and you say, who touched me? But Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me. He wanted to make that point that somebody touched him for a purpose. Somebody touched him for a reason. Somebody did something that in their heart that that's what they had to do. Somebody used to say, if only I can touch the hem of his garment. I've heard that song. Hallelujah. Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling. And understand that in women, especially in old days with the menstrual cycles and bleeding, they're unclean. They're called unclean. And they can't be around men and other people. And they can't be around people and have people touching them and them touching. So this is an important story about the flow of the blood, too. That makes it important. How she got that close to Jesus. How she was able to touch him. Now, when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, and she declared to him in the presence of all the people, in the presence of who? Who else was there? Jairus was there. Remember this. Remember what we're talking about here. Remember, what did Jairus just do? He fell at his feet and he begged Jesus for what? To come to his house for his daughter. So he was witness now. Understand it. Now he's there and he's begging him, and all of a sudden this woman comes along and touches him, and Jairus is watching this. It doesn't say he's watching, but of course he is. In the presence of all the people, the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And Jesus said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Her faith. Just the faith that she had, saying as she's walking through all these people, and I said, if I just touch his garment, if I just touch his garment, I know I'm going to be made well. Oh, that we could all have that kind of faith, to know that you know. She didn't know Jesus like we know him. She didn't have the word of God. She just saw and she believed, and she just said, if only I could touch the hem of his garment, and she was made well. Now, all this is such a beautiful story, but understand, while all this is happening, Jairus is watching because he needs Jesus to go to his house because his daughter is dying. But when Jesus heard it, While he was still speaking, hallelujah, 49, 849, listen. While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house. Who's that? Jairus, saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Jairus, do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well." Now understand, he said that after what happened to the woman. Amen. He saw what happened to the woman. Jairus saw that this woman's faith made her well. And he looked at her and he said, "Only believe. Only believe, and your faith will be made well." When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside. Who did he let in? Peter, James, and John. He took everybody else out. Everybody, except the father and the mother, because he wanted the father and mother to witness to Jesus, the glory of Jesus, the miracles of Jesus. He allowed to come in. But why wouldn't he allow everybody else out? Why would he kick everybody else out and only want the three? Because you cannot pray for things like that with unbelievers. You can't stand there and pray when they got five other people unbelieving, not hearing, not reacting. So he sent them out. He just said, "Get out. I don't care who you are, just get out. I need John, James, and Peter, because they're going to be my prayer warriors. They're going to stand in prayer with me and believe with me in one accord." Isn't that wonderful? One accord. There you are again. And he sets the other people out. Because you cannot, we pray with unbelievers for salvation, Brother John. We pray for unbelievers to get the word of Jesus. We pray for them to come to God. But you cannot pray with people. You cannot get together if somebody is sick and have four people who don't believe and just standing there. The prayer isn't powerful. You need believers. You need to have people who believe praying with you, Sergio. It's so important. And Jesus said, you and you come with me. The rest of you, get out. Hallelujah. And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. So he put them all outside. And he took her by the hand, calling, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished. But he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Why would he tell them, "Don't tell anybody"? But because the people would see for themselves, first of all, but he wanted his word. He wanted what he was preaching to be the most important, not the miracles. He didn't want people coming to him just for the miracles. He said, "So don't tell anybody. They'll see that the little girl's alive. They'll understand. But I want them to hear me. I want them to see what I'm talking about. I want them to believe in me and my Father, not the miracles." He did the miracles so that they would see that. So he tells him not to tell anybody. I tell you, he allowed Peter, James, and John and the mother and the girl to be there to witness that and to have the prayer warriors. When we're praying for something, and Elder Nancy will tell you, when we're praying for, we need believers. When you're laying your hands on somebody's shoulder, somebody is sick and we're praying, we need people praying that believe. When you're praying it and everybody's saying, yes, Lord, in agreement, in one accord. You cannot pray and have people around who are confused or have people around who doubt or who don't think it's real. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But like I said, we pray with unbelievers to receive Jesus for salvation. He wanted his prayer warriors to pray with him. When we pray for the sick or those in need or for our church, brothers and sisters, I pray for this church every single day. This is the most important thing in my life. I love my wife. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. But I would tell you, and if she was here, I would say, this is the most important thing in my life. I want this church. I want the word of God to shine. I want to do all this for God. I am so much in love with what we're doing and for you that I just want you to get filled in a place you never thought possible. This is my heart right here. And I want, when we pray for this church, I want people praying with me that we're going to bring more people that want salvation, more people that want to hear the word of God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, you read about two people, and I call them secret believers. You know, there's people that are secret believers. Nicodemus was one. Jairus was one. That's an important story. They were not believers. They weren't praying in the open. Nicodemus went to him at night because he didn't want people to see. There's people today, Christians today, that don't want people to see that you're a Christian. You're afraid to be talking about God. Because in this world right now, some of the things that we preach, they're calling hate speech. You see it all the time. They're saying we're preaching against other people. We're not preaching against anybody. We're preaching for everybody to come to God. We're not judging, and we better not judge. Because when you become a Christian, you understand a few things. You understand first that you fall short. You understand that you got a lot of things you got to work on, so you don't have time to judge anybody else. The world does not understand that a Christian is someone who admits they fall and that they need God for help. Yes, they do. Anybody with me? We need God to forgive us. We don't need our friends to forgive. We need the forgiveness of God. We got family that can't talk to anybody. Anybody got that? Family that doesn't talk to other people in their family? That's insanity. You only have a little bit of time on this earth. Get into forgiveness. Learn how to forgive and let them forgive you so you can have your family. At least love. The love is supposed to conquer all. We need God to fill us, to give us that salvation. Not to judge others. Hate the sin. Remember that expression, hate the sin, love the sinner? It's even more than that, though. It really is more than that. Listen to what Jesus said. This is in Matthew. Let me quote Jesus. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Who said that? Jesus. What's he talking about? If you don't believe sin exists, you have no need for God. You can't be saved. Understand, if you don't have a need for God and you don't believe anything is sin, then you just can't be saved because you're not going to call on God. He's saying that. If you don't have a need, you don't have a need. It's hard for some to admit that they need help in life. You have no need or desire to call on Jesus. That's why we should never condemn anyone who falls short. And this is really interesting, and I want you to understand this. There is no rating scale for sin. There's no scale for which sin is number one, two, three, four. And no, sin to God is sin. Sin is sin. Say that with me. Sin is sin. I know the world looks at certain things and calls things sins that are bigger, but all fall short, and we understand that. And if we understand that, we don't have time to look at others. We pray for them. We pray for those people. We should never condemn. God is always waiting for us to repent in every part of our Bible. And this is my heart. Anyone who loves Jesus and understands this, anyone who loves Jesus and understands what we're saying would never ask a church to change. Whatever lifestyle people are living, whatever they're doing, they're living and they got to answer to God. And whatever's in their heart and how they're talking to God, there's a lot of Christian people that you're going to meet in heaven that you're going to be surprised they were there because they loved God. They didn't know what they were doing or how they were doing it, but they loved God. But anyone who loves Jesus and understands this would never ask a church to change. And here's why. They would never want God's word to change. You know how scary that would be? All his forgiveness and salvation is everything. These people that love Jesus, whatever they're doing, they would never come to this church and say, you need to accept this and this, knowing that it's not correct in the Word of God. They would never want the Word to change because everything that they hope for tomorrow is on the Word of God and Jesus. So they would never ask for that. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid because you have the truth. You have things that people need. You have that Jesus. You have that gift to share with others. Don't be afraid. Don't be like a secret believer. Don't be afraid of some people are going to come against you. It's all right. They came against Jesus. They came against the disciples. But understand what you have and understand the power that you have and the gifts that you have. And listen to one last thing and I'm going to let you go. Matthew 10:32. Jesus says that whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But who denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Just admit that you need him. Admit, and you do every day. Admit that you love him. Tell others that you love him. Confess that you love him. Confess him to your family, your friends. They may laugh at you 45 times, but the 46th time when something happens in their life, they're going to call you. They're going to call you because they know, oh, my Annie Lane. Oh, yeah, she goes to church. Oh, yeah, I want to call her now because I need help. And then there you go. You start on a different road. You see, you're setting the light. You're the light, and people are going to look to you. You might not see it today, but your nephew might call you tomorrow. Your friend might call you next week and say, I got really bad things going on in my life. What do I do? And you say, you pray with me. Come and pray with me. Just like Jairus when he was on his knees. Why was he on his knees? Because it was the last moment, the last place to go. Amen. You have that gift and you just keep spreading that word out, telling people about God. It might be the 45th time that you tell somebody that they need it right then. And when they finally need it, look at the victory you gain and they get. Give him praise, Lord, because this God is real and we got him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I confess God. I confess Jesus. Anybody want to confess with me that we love Jesus? Would you say, I love Jesus? Understand what the Bible just said. God in heaven, Jesus is confessing you and you today in heaven with God. Your name now is being confessed to God today because you confess Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful thing? We're moving mountains today. Give him praise. What are we singing, ladies? Woo! Morning has broken. Is it going to rain?
No, tonight, okay. I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the word. Sunlit from heaven, like the first to fall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the wet garden, sprung in completeness where his feet pass. Mine is the sunlight, mine is the morning, born of the one light Eden saw play. Praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of the new day.
Pray with me, Lord, open doors for us. Bring me those, Lord, the people that are in need. Lord, we'll teach them, we'll tell them your word, we'll talk about you. Send us those that are in need. Let us help them. Let us lift them, people. Show us, Lord, those, and let them come to us, Lord, that we can open doors for them with you. We can show them a way. We can give them a family they didn't have. We can give them hope they didn't have, Lord. Lead those people to us, those people that are lost. Lead us to each and every one of us. We can touch one person. If each of us touch one person this week, and only 10% of them come, That's a huge thing for God. And if we touch everybody the following week and only 10% of those people come, that's a huge gift for God, a huge gain for the world. There's people who are lost. Send them to us, Lord, and we'll give them hope. Send the people who are in need. Send us the Jairus to us, Lord, who are on their knees right now, needing that word from you. And let us understand that nothing in this book is wasted. That's a half a page story about Jairus. It's not wasted. It's a blessing for us to understand that people on their last second, they'll call on Jesus and he answers them. He's not mad at them that they waited that long. He loved them. He loves you. So let's pray for those that are lost, our family. Somebody will call you this week. Somebody that you can help because they're there and they're waiting. This could be the 45th time that you said something to somebody and they needed it and they received it and their life will change forever. That's our God. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We can do this. You can do this every day. You can do this in your home. You can do it anytime you want. Just call the Last Supper where you ask God to bless this. Would you just remember what Jesus did on that cross as he took the bread and blessed it and then told his disciples to eat, for this was his body being torn for them. You can just take a second and Lord, say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you did for us on that cross. And then pass the bread in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. A glorious day. A glorious day in the Lord today. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the singing in this church this morning. That they just sang with their voices in their hearts. It was so exciting to listen to. Singing and standing in your name, Lord. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Around the sparrow and he watches over me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the love in this church today. Thank you for those in attendance today, Lord. May they be blessed beyond their own comprehension, Lord, that they feel your love today, that they have this peace and this joy of being a part of something so beautiful. Thank you, Lord, for blessing our church. Jesus broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and just said, eat, for this is my body being torn for you. He just saying, remember, do this in remembrance of him in Jesus' name. That I've sinned, Lord, I need your forgiveness this morning. I know that I fall short, Lord, and I need your forgiveness this morning. I need to be cleansed this morning before I receive the sacrament of your blood. So let us be pure and let us be ready to receive. So asking God to just forgive us of any of our iniquities. So be ready to receive and to be healed and to feel that healing even now as we receive the blood of Christ in the sacrament. Hallelujah. For the remission of our sins. Brothers and sister Christians, ask God to forgive you this morning for anything, any doubt, any worry, any words, any discouragement, any fears. Thank you, Lord. We come to you, Lord. We're repenting to you. Thank you, Jesus, that you've never stopped forgiving us. Thank you, Lord, that your love is everlasting. Thank you, Jesus, everlasting. For whoever believes in his name shall be saved. Hallelujah. And have eternal life. It's the promises of our God. Our God's promises. That's what we hold dear and close to us this morning. Receive them, children. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We don't want to be secret believers. We want the world to see what we believe. And why in sharing his name and giving the gift of Jesus, celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you for what you're blessing this church with. Thank you for the miracle of each person in this church. We pray for those who aren't here today, Lord, to touch them. Let them know they were missed, but let them know God is calling them back home. Thank you, Deacon. Receive this gift from Jesus. According to the book of Matthew, for the remission of our sins, we are covered by the blood of Christ. In Jesus' name. Need a believer to believe with me for a complete healing for Miss Pat. George and Pat are here today, and that's a prayer answered. We need to understand that that is a prayer that we've all been praying, and God answered that prayer this morning. We need to give him thanks for that, but we're praying for a complete healing for Miss Pat, that she can walk down the aisle. And we thank God for George Mako taking such good care of her, and for being in her life to help her and keep her strong. Sometimes giving her agita so she has extra strength to fight with. But Lord, it's a blessing for us to see it. We thank you, Lord, that we've been praying and they're here with us this morning. It's a miracle unto God, and we just give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Give him praise, church. We have a beautiful home. You know, the city of Derby has changed over the last 50 years. Anybody who lived in the town knows that we had so many factories in town where men and women worked and raised families, built houses, bought houses all over the valley. We had so many factories in Ansonia right here in Derby, Farrell's, B.F. Goodrich. We had American Brass where people worked, raised a husband and wife, raised a family, bought a house, and paid their taxes to this town. And you can see how the town has changed. You can see it has taken a turn a little differently. That's why you need to look around and see how blessed we are, even though we're in Derby, how blessed this church is, and how God can work miracles with people who believe. Understand the difference in what we're doing, and understand the beauty of everybody here. Look around and see the beauty of this church, and know God is here blessing us. So give him praise. This town has come a long way. We need to bring it back to God.